Today's daf is daf Ayin Dalet, and we're holding a quarter of the way up on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis in Masechet Bava Metzia, the penultimate daf of Perek Chamishi Ezun Deshef. It's going to be very sad leaving this behind. And you got to remind me, tomorrow we're going to need to deal with sum up of some of these issues, including the Heter Iska, now that we know all the dinim, to get into the details of how a Heter Iska works. But getting back to the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Chama. Somebody makes an agreement, takes money from someone with the understanding that he's going to be buying wine for him at the low price at the beginning of the season, and he doesn't. He simply does not perform. And this guy finds out a month later that the price of wine is up. He thought he was going to be selling and making some money. He doesn't even have wine. Now for him to buy wine, he's got to pay the more, the higher price. He is mechuyev, the person who took the money, is mechuyev to pay according to the price that was current at the port of Zulshapat, which is the place which was the standard wine distribution. Everybody would come there. That's where people would bring it and would sell it. So that was the distribution place between the Mokom HaZol and the Mokom HaYog. So it was the point at which everybody would deliver, all of the wineries would deliver, and then from there, the Socharim could take it and bring it into the cities. That is how most Rishonim learn. Now, there are some who learn that Parvata Dozol Shafat is actually the price, the place where it's expensive. And what it means is that he has to give him the money of the wine as it would be now worth in that place, which means that he has to make up for his lost profit, not just supply him the cost of the wine at the time and leave it up to him. No, okay, now what? Now what's he going to do? So the question of here, of course, is, I mean, all he is a shliach, right? I mean, a shliach is not responsible for ancillary damages. They didn't do a shlichut. I mean, so what's the big deal? Now, one way of understanding it would be that they actually made a kinyan on this, you know, that he understood that he's doing it as part of a business. But there's a very interesting ritva. The ritva says that, look, from the dinim of guarantors, it's clear that a person could be mechayev himself as a guarantor simply because he knows that people were relying on him in putting out their money. So when a person knows that he's the linchpin of a deal that other people are stand to lose and gain based entirely on what he's doing, they're trusting their money in his hand. That itself is a level of responsibility that is a yitrevut. The seriousness of it is a yitrevut. So in the same way that we have such a din by an arev, a guarantor of a loan, this is also the same kind of thing. He took the man's money and he knows that he's destroying his parnasa for the year if he's not going to perform. Okay, but whatever the case was, if he is responsible, he's responsible ad kedekach to pay according to Zol Shafat. Omer ha-meimar amrita l'shmaita kebeda Reb Zvid minarda. I said this over to Reb Zvid, and he said to me, well, the only way to understand this is that Reb Chama, who said that you're chayef to pay according to that price, he must have been referring to a case where the man was supposed to get wine, any kind of wine. But if he was told to get a particular kind of wine, then the person who gave him the money never was really sure that he was going to be able to get that wine, because it's not necessarily available to get exactly what you want. And if he said, I'm only interested if I get exactly what I want, so then it's like an esmachta, because he never really relied on it. And if he didn't rely on it, then the other person can't be responsible. Even though the other person said, I'll get it, it was clear that I'll do my best to get it, but if that's the pshat, then anyway, it's not a smichut. So even though he didn't do his best, he's not mechuyev. That's what I think. So ki kamer of kama animila behind stam. But if he specified a type of wine, lo, because me aimer to mezavni in the alay, who's to say that he's ever going to be able to get that? Maybe he won't find it available. Ravashi amar afilu yain stam nami lo. The whole thing makes no sense. Because even to say that he's going to buy wine, it's an ismach. The whole deal is an ismach. He's like, don't worry, I'll pay you back if I don't. He doesn't really intend to pay him back from his own. He intends to do it. If he didn't do it, okay. He was just exaggerating. So the mail, it's an ismachta. And an ismachta is lokanya. So his guarantees weren't really serious. It's no different than betting on anything. And he can't collect based on that. Well, says the Gemara, according to Rav Ashi, standard contract with a sharecropper, with an artist, has this clause, okay, quote, it's not, im ovir velo avid, ashalem b'me tava, unquote. So the sharecropper agrees to a penalty. If I leave this field fallow and I don't do what I have to do, I'll pay you back with the best that I've got. So obviously he's taking responsibility, and we don't say, well, you know, it's only an asmachta, because if he didn't perform, look, he tended to perform, but you know how it goes. We don't say that. We say that that type of contractual obligation is perfectly legal. So why does Rav Ashi say here it's not considered to be a contractual obligation? Says the Gemara, because Rav Ashi obviously distinguishes between something that is biyado. I mean, you didn't do the work. So it was biyadcha to do the work, and that's up to you. So that's a real commitment. But over here, where he knows that he may not be able to do it, even if he wanted. I mean, how do you know you're going to get it at that price, right? So here's lo biyado. So if it's lo biyado, the combination of that and the penalty, it's not 100% smichus das. And if it's not smichus das, so then it's an asmachta b'yom. Oh my Rava, Hani Beit Lata, the Abis Uzi Lechad, Lemizman Lomidit. Suppose three people get together to open a business. And they appoint one guy to be the one who's going to buy the merchandise for them. And they all put in money, and they give him the money. And what he does is Zavin Lechad Binayim. He buys with the money of one of them, and he doesn't find enough for the whole thing. But you're talking about this case. How about really if there were three separate people, and you don't buy for all of them? I mean, so what would be the deal over there? Now, halacha is he purchased for all of them. They're all partners because they put already the money into a common kitty. But lo amr lo tzar v'chotim inish inish l'chudei. That's only if they really did put into a common kitty. If lo maisa tzar v'chotim inish inish l'chudei. If each person had a sealed envelope with his funds, this guy opens one of the envelopes and invests it, then the fact that they all were willing to invest doesn't mean that the business exists, because it was theoretically going to exist. So, lo zavan. They were still being mocked on keeping separate accounts here. Omer of Papa Mishmeda Rava, Hai Situmata Kanya. You should know that in the deals that we're talking about over here, a guy goes and he's buying wine, and it's the season. And you're sitting there in this parvata of Zolshafat. There's thousands of people around. What are you going to do to take delivery? You make a deal. So what they would do is they would stamp it. So they would take a little bit of wax, put a stamper on the barrels that belong. These are my barrels now. Sold, right? Okay. So that's called a situmata. So once the buyer goes ahead, makes a deal at an auction, right? So he's saying, okay, I'm buying at such and such a price, sold. He goes and he takes his stamper and his wax, and he marks everything that's his. And then gradually it's delivered to his store from the port. He sells off one by one. Meanwhile, he has not taken delivery. Nonetheless, says Rav Papi, quoting Rava, the stamper is Kena. L'may hilchot, in what sense is it Kena? So Rav Chaviva says it means it's Kena. Mamash. Look, l'mikni mamash. It's a true Kenyan. Now, this is a pretty amazing thing. How could it be a true Kenyan? I mean, there's no such Kenyan as a stamper. The truth is that there's some in the Rishonim say that you see from here in a clear halacha that common agreement creates Kenyanim. Because anything that has to do with monetary intercourse is defined by local use. In which case, you don't need a takana for something to be Kenyan. You need only a clear-cut indication of smichus das. Many disagree, and they say that it means over here, l'miknir, mamish alibah rav chaviva, as a subset of the din of chalipin. In the same way that chalipin means that if I do something, give you something, so I give you a handkerchief, then I'm kona. So over here, if I give you my wax seal, I'm kona. So even though normally that wouldn't be the way we would expect a chalipin, but certainly local usage can define the nature of the local chalipin, because chalipin has nothing to do with value anyway. And therefore, there needs to be some framework for a local usage to fit into for it to be a Kenyan. You can't stop create out of nothing a local Kenyan. Let's say the minig locally is a guy who does an Indian war dance is Kenyan. I mean, so then there's no framework for such a Kenyan. So there can't be a local expression of Kenyanim in that way. But over here, there is an expression of a pre-existing framework called Khalif. It was a fascinating Rabbanan Amri. The Rabbanan say, even so, it's not a true Kenyan. It's the Kabuli Alei Misha Para, that if you don't do anything, then there's not even Misha Para. So we want to have some level of commitment with Rabbanan or Mechayev, at least a level of Kenyan for Misha Para, if you change your mind. V'yelchata, The halacha is that indeed minastam, it's for mishapara. But if lamaisa, this is a locale where it's the minik to actually be kena completely, then it means lemikne mamish kono. We're all agreed on that. The only machlokas of Chaviva and the Rabbanan was what is the intent in the port when they do this. But if clearly there is a location that uses this as a kinyan, it's a good kinyan. Hayahu techila lakutzrim. Omar Rav. Let me tell you something. What the Mishnah is saying is, I mean, because remember, what we have is really two completely different din. A din of Yotza Hashar. In a case of Yotza Hashar, we consider any pegging to a commodity the equivalent of a purchase of the commodity. Why? Because it's doable. Because since there's a Shar, I know that I can get the commodity for that. So you're saying, but come off it. You're not going to buy the commodity. So what? So I'm selling short. That's not your problem. That's my problem. But Lamais, I'm not playing games because of, thank you. If I wanted to, I could buy. So as far as you're concerned, you gave me money, I'm a dealer in a commodity, and I'm selling a commodity that I have. Now, Lamaisa, if the commodity is not available, so we had the case where he was Trilala Kotsrin, commodity is not available, but it's available to me because I happen to be a producer. But wait a minute, it's not really available. I mean, the grain is not ready for delivery yet. There's a few steps before you're going to be able to deliver it, right? Nonetheless, it's okay. So we said, you have your grapes already inside of the holder, you've got your olives, you've got your grain ready to be threshed, whatever, that's enough. Says Rav, now it's not. I mean, there's got to be some level at which it's close to delivery. So when if it would be missing two steps, b'chuzerstein, then you can be posek as if you already have the commodity. But if it's missing three steps, then ain't no posek. Shmuel says, I don't care how many steps it's missing. If it's in your hands to take care of it, so then it's not missing anything. So b'dei adam afilu mea posek. Even if it's got 100 steps left, so I'll do it. Since it's biyadi to do it, so I can deliver the commodity to you. But if it's dependent in things that are out of my hands, it's bidei shamai, then I can't do it. So then even if it's missing one thing, I can't be posek on it because I don't have what to deliver. So there I feel like I'm in a posek. Now, let's take a look and see how this holds up when we examine the Mishnah. It's not. Posekim alakadish. Now, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, it sounds to me like the stuff is just delivered to the threshing area, right? Now, normally when grain is delivered to the threshing area, they're taking now the bundled grain and dumping it on the threshing floor. The next stage is that you've got to spread it out in the sun for it to dry. You can't thresh it until it's dry enough at least to separate. So now it's missing. Bechusar, mishta bechama. You got to spread it out from the bundles. Step one, okay? That's mishta bechama lemevash in order for it to dry out. Step two, you now have to trample the grain in order to make it, that's the threshing, in order to make it winnowable. And then you've got to need midra. You've got to actually do the winnowing. You got to throw it up into the air and let the wind blow away the chaff. So that's three steps. And Rav said only two steps you can be placing. And the Mishnah is saying three steps. No, it means you're going to shada b'chama b'yavash. When it says it's on the threshing floor, it means it's on the threshing floor, ready to be threshed. That must be what it means. It's only missing two steps. And according to Shmuel, who says that if something is missing a step that's out of your control, so then it's considered to be bichlal not in your hands. According to him, this doesn't work. So then he says, isn't a mechusamidra. I mean, you cannot winnow without wind, and that's bidei shamayimi. Not true. It could bring a fan. Efshar ben afasa. You're saying, okay, there's no wind. No, there's no wind, so I'll turn on the fan. And I'll use the fan to do the actual winnowing. Okay? V'ala avicha anavi. Let's take a look at the next clause. Next clause was, I took grapes, and I put them in the holding container. They're not even ready yet for trampling. What do they call it? Trampling? When they walk over it? What's it called? Shredding grain? Okay. So now there's a lot of stages that are missing. Look, first of all, it's b'chutzar michmar. Michmar is where it's been in there long enough to have heated up through gradual oxidation. And that is what allows them to be properly trampled, right? Then you have to bring them into the Beimat Sarta. I mean, they have to be put into the gut in order to do the disha. And then you need, after you do that, you need to draw it out. You need the mingat, which is drawing it out from the gut into the holding pit, right? It should say ula meidash, not limeidash, because that's really two stages. You've got to take it from the stage of kamira, put it into the gut, and then do the disha, and then do the drawing. So now you've got more than two steps, Rob. Well, it's talking about over here, Tony Rebichia. It's talking about alakomer shel zeitim. Rabbi Chiya said about the next case, the case of the oil, that even though it doesn't mention, it just says you put the olives in, but he says that means that they've already been in long enough to heat. So it's called a comer. So if that's the case, when it says over here the anavim are in the container, it means they've already been heated. So it's talking about a comer, shel anavim. Okay, but even so, it's still missing three steps, because you have to take it from there, deposit it in the god, A. Then you have to do the trampling, B. And then you have to draw it out of the god into the holding pit, which is three. So according to Rav, it shouldn't be good, because you're not able to take the liver. So it's a mechuser tlat. Well, ba'atra da'ud is avanu denagin. What it means is, Rav's referring to a case, where he understands the Mishnah, is where the buyer buys in gut. So he is the one that puts it into a vat. So what happens is, you know, you have portable vats, basically. In other words, he takes his container, puts it into the holding pit, and then he opens up the spigot to get out the wine. So if that's the case, then he's buying it in vat, or in gut. If he's buying it in gut, then he doesn't have to worry about the next step. That's the buyer. And a ma'atenshel zeitin, same problem. Even if you put the olives into the maten, they still need time to heat up. So hamechuser michmar v'yula levedapi and ulamedash and ulaminga, the same four steps. They need to be heated, they need to be moved over to the bod, they need to be pressed, and then they need to be drawn out, the olives, the oil needs to be drawn out into a holding container. So here is indeed where Rabbi Chiya said that it's talking about a komer shel zeitin and not the actual just maten. Okay, but it still leaves three steps. Indeed, it does. But we're talking about over here, I'll leave it to Rav, the atra du dezavin hudamangin, where the buyer is the one who draws out the oil into his own containers. The next case we had were the bitzim of a yotzer. So over there, you want to buy pottery before anything exists other than the clay that is in the shape of a bitzah, and now you're gonna start forming it. Now, think about how many stages we've got from there, Rav. We've got lefufe. So first of all, we need the molding, which is where you put it on the machine that starts rolling, then we form it the way we want to. Then it's got to be dried before we can fire it. And then we have to ayuli latuna, and we have to put it into the kiln. Then we've got to get the kiln heated, to lemisra. Then we've got to take it out of the kiln. So how does Rav understand the Mishnah? It's missing more than two steps. Well, it's talking about over here, it's malafafam. And it says Beitzi. What it really means is pickle. What it really means is that he's already formed it, and it's already dry. He's ready to put it into the kiln. Okay, but that's still three steps. Rav said only two steps. Talking about over here, the buyer goes to the factory, and he has a right to look at things in the kiln, decide what he wants, take it out of the kiln himself. The next case we had, which is also problematic, is lime. So the lime is okay to make a deal on as a commodity if it's already in the furnace. Now, wait a minute. You've got mikla. So you've got to heat up the furnace and burn the lime. You've got to be afuke. You have to take it out. And now you've got to crush the lime by mixing it with water, and then it just sort of falls into a powder. Let's talk about the oven with the diet. It's talking about where the buyer buy a ton of the stuff. He wants it raw. He'll process it himself. So that's basically the same idea we had before. What about according to Shmuel, who says, Bidei Adam, doesn't matter how many steps there are, why the heck did the Mishnah say that it has to already be in the furnace? Because according to Shmuel, the Mishnah seems to be interested in limiting the number of steps. I mean, why can't it just say you could sell as long as you have the rocks? So, Lomalei Mishi Shakenu Bekivshan. No, it means that. Ima Mishiro Uyla Shako Bekivshan. It means that he basically has everything prepared. He has the wood that he would need for fuel. He has the lime, and now he's going to burn it. But Enochinami, he hasn't put it into the Kivshan, literally. V'ala Bitim Shala Yotzer. Turn around. Ein poskin ala bitzim shel yotzer ad sheyasu tiv Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says it means literally that you have to actually own the bitzim. It's not that you can say, I got clay. It's not enough. Not true. Depends. I agree with you. We are talking about white clay, and over there, it's difficult to get hold of, and people generally are not going to rely on your ability to supply pottery unless you actually own the pre-prepared beitzim of this stuff, because you're not going to be able to get it raw. So where it's prepared, fine. Okay, I agree with you. But if you're talking about regular junk clay, you're not talking about a high-quality thing. Talking about earthenware. No, earthenware, I mean, there are places, not everywhere. I mean, there's whole areas where all you got to do is dig in your backyard for this stuff. I mean, you're talking about Ba'afr Shachar, like is available in every backyard in Kfar Hanania in the area, or Kfar Shechin in the area. I think that's Sachnin. The poskim afa pisha in lazeh yesh lazeh. Over there, you don't actually have to have it. It's no different than any commodity. The same way that you say with the commodity, you could be posek on the actual pot. So you could be posek if you hold that all I need to be assured of is delivery. So I know that the manufacturer is not going to have any problems. What's the difference how many stages it is? Especially if you hold everybody to Shmuel. So after the chain lazeh yesh lazeh. A Maimar would only be Yaiv Zuzek, Michima Ayle Afra. So he would be Pesek, a delivery, based on a commodity of pottery where there was no Yotze Hashav, only where he was satisfied that the manufacturer had the raw material in the house, but not as Beitzin. It was sufficient if he had simple clay. Says the Gemara, well, that's not true according to anybody. I mean, so who's he going like? Come on. I mean, if he's saying Rabbi Meir said it has to be Achiyas, literally Beitzin, not Afa. If he's going like Rabbi Yossi, so then you don't even need it in the house. If he's talking about the kind of stuff that's available, Rabbi Yossi said, on af pishein lezeh yesh lezeh. So then, how's he making up his own sheet over here? Leolam Rabbi Yossi. No, a Maimar holds of Rabbi Yossi that Lamaisa, all we need to assure is that the guy has access to raw material. The problem is that the Maimar, Ashik Afra, they used to raise the prices ridiculously on clay, and therefore you could not be sure of getting it. So apparently it was relatively rare, otherwise I wouldn't be able to control the price of clay. So Idema'ile Afra Samchadaita, if he already has the actual Afra, it doesn't matter. Because it wasn't delivered. It was talking about cheap materials in terms of the quality that's delivered to you as raw clay. It doesn't have to be a dembeitzah. But you need to be able to get it. That's the bottom line. So if you have it, samchadaita. So then, fine. He understands that now, if he changes his mind, he's going to be over on Mishapora. So therefore, the buyer knows now already he's got what to be Samechan, and therefore, he's going to take delivery at the higher price later, even though he's now paid up in advance before the Shabbos Yotze. And therefore, when he gives him the money, so now it's as if he, at least, Lagabi Mishapara, so he knows that he could take delivery and he's going to get it. But he lo lo samchadaita. And if he's not Samechadat, then there would be no Mishapara for the seller. And if that's the case, then he knows he has no way of insuring this contract. So that is what it means is, I'm lending you money, basically, with the hope of getting it back at a higher price. So that's plain rebit. If I buy a contract, it's only if the smich is das. So only if there's the material can I be sent that. The next thing that we had in the Mishnah was a three-way machlokes about what to do with kampa, right? So, posik imo ala zevel, kol yimot hashana. So it means, according to the Tanakama, you can be posik. So let's take a look at the lashon. Remember when we read the Mishnah, we were wondering what it's supposed to mean. This is now the closing of the Mishnah here. The last case we had was Zevel. So, poskek imala Zevel koyimot hashana. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can only be poskek Zevel if you actually have a compost heap in your backyard. So, imaitalo Zevel ba'ashpa. And then come along to Chachomim and say, no, it's okay. Now, the Chachomim who say, no, it's okay, are simply repeating what the Tanakhama said. Tanakhama said, it's okay. The Chachomim are matir. We never have a review of the Shita before. So they obviously are chaylik in something. Ask the Gemara Chachamim, Hainu Tanakama. Omar Rava, yeah, the difference is, notice, the Tanakama said, Kol Yemot HaShana. Now, obviously, there's a difference between Yemot HaGishamim or Yemot HaChamam. So Rabbi Yossi says, look, I don't care when it is, what season it is. Either you have it or you don't have it. The Chachamim who say, well, you can always get it. They're talking about during the Yemot HaChama, where you can always get it. But the Chachamim, the Tanakama, they say, look, people don't have to start a heap now. I mean, it could be here for years. You could buy it from somebody who's got it. What's the difference? Uposeki moki shar hagavoa. Now, remember that the shar hagavoa is the cheaper price. The shar hagavoa means all of the transactions were done. We're used to thinking in terms of liters per kilometer. This number of dollars per what you're going to get. They thought in the opposite direction. How many saw are you purchasing per sella? So is it 4 saw per sella or 3 saw? That means the lower shar is the higher price. The higher shar is the lower price. We're giving you the higher shar, I'm giving you 4. Priscilla. Okay, so what it means over here is that if the price changes, and now we're getting 4 Priscilla, and I thought I'm smart, and I paid for take delivery at 3%. So I can be posek, says the Tanakhama. I can be posek imo. Again, let's look in the Mishnah. I can be posek imo ashar gavoa. But if I'm not posek, it's rather clear from the Tanakhama. If I don't say, look, I mean, I'm giving you the money now to take delivery at the lowest price, not at the current price, it's because we're assuming the current price is the lowest price. So then you can get the lowest price. Whereas Rabbi Yudah says, you don't have to make that kind of condition. Afo pi shelo posek imo kishar gavoa. But at the time that the price falls, you could say, well, I don't want to take delivery. So give me back my money. So either you're going to give it to me at the current price or I'm not taking delivery. So you could say to him, either tainli kazeh, give me the current price, or tainli ad mo'otai, I want my money back. Now, I mean, we could understand that as the old machloket about Misha Parah. Remember our original machloket in the Mishnah that spoke about Misha Parah, or mo'ot konot. According to Rabbi Shimon, ma'ot are konot. So the only time that we made a takana that you can change your mind, except that you'll need to be mekabel misha parah, is the seller who holds now the money and the merchandise could say, you know what, I decided to give you back your money. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon holds that that is sufficient. First of all, holds most takanos in your eyes. So why would the rabbanim make a takana to undo it? Only because Shema Yomer lo, that the initial. Good heaven. It's sufficient, says Rabbi Shimon, for the seller himself to save the fire in the warehouse if he thinks he can make more money. Rabbanan would say, no, if the buyer is not going to be able to leave it to him and say, well, never mind, your stuff burned. He's still not, just for saving money, he's not going to do it. Okay, fine. But the point is that one way of understanding this Mishnah is that the reason you could be posikimo Bishar Gavoa, the machlokas, or whether you need a tznai or not, could be that same old machlokas. Because if you don't make a tznai, so then ain't a chinami. You, the buyer, don't have a right to change your mind. Only a seller could change your mind. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would be going according to the kachamim over there, it says, no, a buyer could change his mind also. Of course, then we'd have to wonder. But if he's going to be makabel misha parah, so then we said before, just a minute ago, that that would be a smichut dat. Would you need to, I mean, he's saying you could do it even without misha parah. Why would that be? So we'd, anyway, we're going to have to get into a variation on the standard. We'd have to say that what he's saying is that it's understood that when a person gives money up front to get a price, he doesn't want to lock in a more expensive price. He's paying you cash in order to lock in the lowest price. Okay, so now let's take a look at the Gemara. Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan, ein poski. Oops, wrong page. I went back to the Mishnah. Sorry. So now, says the Gemara, how do we understand what's happening over there? We understand it as involving the question of the Tanai in terms of Misha Parah Lachar. So Omer Lai Rabbanu L'Rav Papa. You're saying, I'm sorry, let's go back. Ahu Gavra. Posi Rav Shagavasar. I'm on the first line. I didn't get up to that. Ahu Gavra. The Yoiv Zuze L'Nedunya. An interesting case. A guy makes up with his future father-in-law that he is going to provide the diamonds for his wife's nedunya, the jewelry, whatever it is that she normally brings in. And we understand now that what happened is that the father-in-law has to do him a favor. You live in Manhattan, there's lots of guys over there. Not Manhattan, no, it's got to be Borough Park. You live in Borough Park where they have stores that specialize in nedunya. So it's nedunya ba'am. Okay. You go in there, there's a set price for, because, I mean, it's all generic, so nobody needs anything. So whatever you buy in the dunya, class one, you know, it's the standard bracelet and the sheets and so on, okay? Typical Borough Park nedunya. So you make a deal with him on the current price for nedunya. In the end, what happens is that the price of nedunya went down. Lesov zal nedunya. So now, obviously, the guy doesn't want to take delivery. Right. So they come in front of Rav Papa to the din. Omar lay. So Rav Papa said to him, look, the Tanakhama says that you have to make a condition. So ipasakti mukashar gavosh yokahashta. Look, if you made a condition that if the price goes down, he has to supply you on the lower price, fine. Then you can indeed get the current price. But if you didn't make a condition, then you have to be shakur kamikar. Then you're going to have to take the original price and, you know, too bad. Wait a minute. You're saying that if he didn't make a condition, he has to take the original price? I mean, it's just, all he did was give money, right? So, Elo Puzik, Shokram, Yikar. It's just money. Ma'od Ninu, Ma'od are not Kona, said Rav Papa. Obviously, if he wants to change his mind, he can change his mind like any normal buying and selling. I mean, forget about the complications of the changing in value. Except that it'll have to be Mishakavo Mishapora. I mean, if you're talking about a madman who wants to be Mekavo Mishapora, obviously he can be Mekavo Mishapora. All I said was that, look, you're stuck with the deal like any other deal. You want to change your mind, so then you're going to be on an army of the Kabbalah and a Mishapora. I mean, obviously. So, if he made it tonight, and now the seller refuses to deliver at the lower price, so then the seller is the one who's going to get Mishapora, right? Because then who's the one that's being not standing b'diburo? She'ino omed b'diburo, that's the mocher. So then it was the mocher kaharaveh. Then the seller, if he doesn't supply at the lower price, he's the one that's going to be mekabeloi Mishapora. So mekabeloi mocher Mishapora. But if you didn't make a condition, so ilo pasak, if you did not make a condition, who's the one that's refusing to take delivery? The lokeach. So then the lokeach is the one that has to be mekabeloi, he's the one that's come ahadabe. So then he has to be mekabeloi lokeach Mishapora. That's all I was saying. I mean, obviously I'm not saying there's some magic here where suddenly Moyes are kinex. That's not what the point is. I'm like Ravina Rav Papa, and hold on a minute. What you've done in learning it this way is you've created basically a situation where you've assumed that the nature of the Tanakhama is that it's going on Liba the sheet of the Rabbanan who hold that Moses and Abkhanites, and that either buyer or seller can have Charata, and you're saying, therefore, that in this case, if you didn't make it tonight, then if you have Charata, you're going to be Mekabel Mishapor. And that would mean that the machlokus between the Rabbanan here and Rabbi Shimon is not dependent, and Rabbi Yeramin is not dependent in the machlokus of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon, right? So in other words, basically the lineup is like this. If we would be going a little bit of Rabbi Shimon, then the Moshe Kainis, then there's no issue even a Mishapar. If we're going a little bit of Rabbanan of Rabbi Shimon, then we have two shittas in that. We have the Rabbanan here who hold you need a Tanai Mifurash, and then we have this new idea of Rabbi Yehuda, in which he says, well, in this case, we're, apparently that's what he holds, because he never mentions Mishapora. He says, if you want to, you could say, I'm not taking delivery. So he holds that it's obvious that you never meant to commit yourself to take delivery on something. 3 months from now, if the price is going to go down on the basis of a higher price. So in other words, there's three different shitas. I mean, there's a simple way to learn here, but there's only two different shitas. Why can't we make the Mishnah dependent on the Machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, and the Rabbanan? Why don't we say, Rabbi Yehuda in this Mishnah is the Rabbanan of that Mishnah? And most are not kainos, Midiras. And this din of Mishapora is only where it's not obvious that you meant not to take delivery if the price is going to change over the next month, right? Whereas the Tanakhama in our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, who holds that most are kainos. Therefore, if you didn't make it tonight, what are you going to say? Most are kainos, kaput. You already bought it. There's nothing to discuss. What's the difference if you take delivery? Delivery, according to Rabbi Shimon, is a meaningless idea. Because according to him, a buyer can never change his mind. Even to be Mekabel Mishapora can't change his mind. So you made things more complicated. There was a simple solution, and you went ahead, paskin, aliba de Tanakhama, which you assumed was of the Shita that's La Locha, which is the Rabbanan. Simple way of reading the Mishnah is that the Tanakhama is Rabbi Shimon. So the Rabbanan asked him, now let's take a look at this. The Ravina asks him, Omer LeRavina, Rav Papa, I don't understand why you jumped to conclusion. Who am I, Rabbanan, the Polyglot Rabbi Shimon, the Amri Mos, Lokonos? What you're saying is, look how complicated. You're saying the Tanakhama here is actually the Rabbanan who argued for Rabbi Shimon. They hold that Mi'ikra Din Mos, not the Filoachi. Nonetheless, they're saying, if you were Pesach, Kishar HaGavoa, only then are you Shokar Kedahashta. And if not, the Shokar Mi'ikara. So now, in other words, now you've created a sub Machlok. So now we have three separate machlokas, right? Sub machlokas about whether it's assumed that this tanai exists or the condition has to be articulated. That's what you're saying. The simple way to learning is, Dim Rabbi Shimon. Say that the Tanakhama is Rabbi Shimon who holds Ma'ota Konot, which is why, if you're posing Kishar HaGavoa, there's nothing to do about it because you already bought it. You own it. It's as if it's in your attic. What are you going to do? Come back 3 months later and say, oh, I want to give this back because I found it cheaper. So therefore, obviously, Rabbi Shimon would say that once you're placed at Kishar Gavoa, you have no choice. Only if you're placed at Kishar Gavoa, you could be Shokar Kedahashta. But if you're not placed at Kishar Gavoa, you have no choice and you're Shokar Mi'ikara. Well, of course. It's already in your house for all intents and purposes. Mishum Dekane Lezuze. Masha Enkein, I'll leave it to Rabbanan to argue on Rabbi Shimon. There the din is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying here. And then, this is a simple extension of the previous Mishnah. And you don't have three different shittas. You have the same two shittas we always knew about. I mean, obviously, we attempt always to limit the number of new shittot unless you're absolutely forced into a corner and have to create a new shita. Why would we say this? According to Rabbanan, Bein Pasak, Bein Lo Pasak, you would be Shokar Kedahashta, right? Because They're just saying that it's obvious that daita de'inish atira zila. A person always wants to pay less. He's not putting out money in advance to pay more. That's a given. That's all that they're saying. Amarle said Rav Papa, because, my dear friend, because Rav Shimon himself, there's absolutely no reason for us to say that Rabbi Shimon would have said what the Tanakhama says. On the contrary. And I'm going to show you. Rabbi Shimon himself, who said that once you give money, it's kaina, he only said that b'chad tira. He only said that when you're walking into a store and you're buying something. Not where you're playing the market with a straight tira, but there's going to be an earlier value and now a later value for the same commodity that you're buying. I mean, obvious. Isn't there a difference where a person is playing the market? That he doesn't intend to take delivery of a commodity? That's the whole point. So he's saying it as a contract. No. So what do you say that Rabbi Shimon held that you're kaina with cash because you bought a contract? You didn't buy a commodity, you bought a contract. That's the point. So betray Tiri me, Omar. When did Rabbi Shimon ever say such a thing? And it's ridiculous to think that Rabbi Shimon would think such a thing. Because the Yilo Temahachi, let me ask you something. What you're saying is that I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, there does not exist the concept of Bishapara on a buyer. Because I don't care what a buyer buys. The moment that he buys, it's his. That's what you're saying. Only a seller can ever have Mishapar. So according to Rabbi Shimon, Mishapar Belokech Rabbi Shimon, what? Let lay. He doesn't hold there's such a concept. So you'll say, that's right. That's exactly the fact. Rabbi Shimon holds only a seller can have Harata, not a buyer. What's so terrible about that? So Vechite Machinami, maybe you'll try to tell me, that's exactly what I do believe. I believe that according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no such thing as Mishapar for a buyer. Aha. So that's where I'm going to show you that you're wrong. Because Vatanya, look, the language of Rabbi Shimon, remember, was, even though kach halacha, yeah, maybe that's halacha, mikol makom, kach halacha, aval amru chachamim mishapar. What do you mean, mikol makom? What's mikol makom? Just say kach halacha, aval amru chachamim mishapara. The mikol makom is saying, look, you're always going to get into this problem. I don't care if you're a buyer or you're a seller. Mikol makom, you're going to have to worry about mishapara, right? That's what it means. So my mikol makom. Lav the loshna lokeach, the loshna mocher, mikabalale mishapara. So you'll say, but that's not true. Did not Rabbi Shimon himself say in the Mishnah that a buyer can't have charata? Ha ha! So obviously, there are two different cases in Rabbi Shimon. One is where you go and you're buying a refrigerator. So you walk into the store, you give money for the refrigerator, and then you get a phone call from your daughter. I just found the refrigerator for $100 cheaper. So you tell the guy, never mind. Over there, Rabbi Shimon says, what do you mean, never mind? It's too late. You gave him the money. So but I didn't take delivery. I don't have to take delivery, according to Rabbi Shimon. That's true. But where you're not buying an item, you're buying a commitment to the delivery of an item. Oh, there Rabbi Shimon also says you can have charata, except that you get mishapara. Fine. So I'll leave it, Rabbi Shimon. Obviously, there's a difference between chad tira, but betray tira lo amru. In which case, don't tell me that since the Tanakhama would be Rabbi Shimon, then you need to have it tonight. You see, you don't need to have it tonight.
No? That is a case where he would not be, where if he gave him money, what does he have to say? I want a refrigerator, or when he goes into the store?
No. What he does is he can go into a guy who deals with refrigerator and who does not have a refrigerator. So he says to him, I want a refrigerator delivered to me Erev Pesach. Now it's holding the summertime before Pesach. Yes? I actually did this last year. I want a refrigerator delivered to me Erev Pesach. So I pay a price. Then the price of the refrigerator goes down. So now what? I paid off that contract, right? So I told the guy, wait a minute. I didn't pay to pay more for a refrigerator. I paid you in advance. I gave you cash to get less for the refrigerator. That's exactly this case. So over there, I bought the option to take a refrigerator later, essentially. That's what we're saying. So there, Rabbi Shimon would also hold that I could change my mind that at most are not kindness. Right? Okay. But this whole thing doesn't make any sense. You know what? The whole thing is crazy. You're forgetting about something very important. Because the whole idea over here is, you're saying, I'll leave it at Tanakhama, we have a problem, Mishapara, right? And that's what Rav Papa was saying. Well, I mean, obviously, I wasn't saying you can't do it, I was just saying you're going to get Mishapara if you do it. There's no Mishapara here. How can it be Mishapara? I am an agent for another guy. My future father-in-law told me, go to Borough Park and make a deal. So now I come, and you say, okay, we're gonna be sending it over. I say to you, I just spoke to my father-in-law, refuses to accept delivery. Oh, says the seller, well then you're gonna have to take Mishapara. You didn't make a deal. That's what Rupap is saying. Obviously the guy says, what do you mean, I get Mishapara? I was doing it for somebody else. The guy doesn't want it. What am I supposed to do? It wasn't my money. How can you tell me I'm not Eved B'Diburo. He says, all right, so we'll call your father-in-law. Let him get me Shapara. Calls up the father-in-law. The father-in-law says, I got a shmo for a son-in-law who didn't make a t'nai when he should have made a t'nai. I'm not going to be on the Mishapara. Let him worry about it. So obviously, nobody's going to get Mishapara. So therefore, this whole thing really is based on a misapprehension. So typically, the shliach shav yamikara. I mean, wasn't that the case? That's where we assume the case was. Omar Lay. But whenever you make a who doesn't know? The seller? Borough Park and the Dunya Limited? What he knows or doesn't know isn't the issue. That's true, he doesn't. You're 100% right. He doesn't care. No, so what's he going to do now? Yeah, you're telling me that I should accept a klala. Very good. I will accept the klala. I accept the fact that God pays back people who don't stand by their word. Okay? Thank you. That has nothing to do with me. I stood by my word. I made a deal for somebody. That's all I did. So what do you want? You want me to say those words? I'll say those words. Big deal. Says the Gemara, the case was indeed not so partial. It wasn't what you thought. Amalei betagra, the Zavinu Mazmin. We're talking about over here, one Chanarashi is, we were never talking about a case where the father-in-law had asked him to be a shliach to go to the guy. Rather, he is a very smart kind of son-in-law. So what he did is he figured he'd be able to get the stuff cheaper, and he'll sell it to father-in-law. So he gets it on both ends. He gets it when he gives it to the dunya, to his kala. Plus, he'll get the profit on having been able to give it for the lower price, right? It's great, okay? So, or the other pshat Rashi says is that it's not that he was a shliach, that he was actually posek. He himself took the contract. So now he's trying to fill his contract by buying the contract from Borough Park Nadunya. Well, whatever the case is, there still is a mishapara over here because somebody put himself up. Omrav Chama. Hi, man, the officers of the Chavin, the Mizmah, the Chamro, Porsha. Clearly it could only be by Yayin Stam, but if he wants a special wine, lo, because me aimed him is Avni Lenyale. Ravashiam Rafilo Yayin Stam is no good, because my time is Smakti. How does he know he's going to get Smakti? Look on you. Lavashi, Mashram, Oditan, a standard contract with a sharecropper. Imovir, Velo Avir, Shalembe Metava. Atam Biyado? How can Lav Biyado? Omar Rava, Hani Beit Lat, the Avi Zuzi Lachad, the Mizvan Lumini. Vizoman Lachad Bidayu, by definition, Vizoman Lakulo. But, Loam, the Lo Tsar, Vachoti Minishinish Lachude, Avot Tsar, Vachoti Minish Lachude, Lamanda Zalan Zavan, Lamanda Lo Zavan, Lo Zavan. Omer of Papi Mishmeda Rava, Hai Situmta Kanya, Loma Yilchata, Rav Chaviva Omer, Le Miknaya Mamesh, Rabbon and Ami, Le Kabule Alei Mishapara, Ve Yilchata, Le Kabule Alei Mishapara, Ube Atra, Den Egal of Mikne, Mamash, Kanu. Hayahu Tefila Le Kotzrim, Omer Rav, Mefusar Shtayin, Posek, But Shalosh, you know, Posek, Shmuel Omer, I don't care, if it's Bidei Adam, Afilu Mea Posek, because he can do it. Bidei Shamayin, afilo achatino posek. Tonight. Posekimu al agadish. Now, agadish is b'chusr mishtabacham al mevash. It's b'chusr midisha itself. It's b'chusr the midra in the wind. So it's three steps. Now, kigun d'shadabacham av yavash already. El shmuel diomri bidei shamayin afilo achatino posek. Isn't it b'chusr midra, which is dependent on the wind, which is bidei shamayin? You never heard of a fan. Efshir ben afas. But still, it's because it's flat. Not if it's an atra who the zaven who the nagin. The alabitzim show yotzer amayv amachusel the fufe yevushe iyule leatuna misraf meifak. For heaven's sakes, you're going to malach for the avishu already. Still, there's still three things left. It's ba'atra dudezavenu the mafik al hasid mishi yeshake eno bakivshan v'amachusel mikla ve'afuke u'medak. It's ba'atra dudezavenu the day l'shmuel damer b'day shamayim afilu meyaposek l'amal mishi yeshake eno bakivshan. Because Afra Pishen was a Yeshua Zeh. A Meimar was Yogzizim Ikmer Ayle Afra, come on. Ikrabi Meir, Amrachi Asu, literally. Ikrabi Yosi, Amrachi Asu, that you don't need it at all. Leolam Kirabi Yosi. But the Atri, the Ameimar, Oshik Afra. So Idima Ayle Afra, Samcha Daita, Viavele Zuzi. But Ilo, Lo Samcha Daita. Posikim Ola Zevo, Kuyamota Shanacha Chonim, Hainatanakama. Omar Rova, the difference is Yimota Geshamim. They said Koyimota Shana. Rabbi Yossi said never. And he says in the summer. Uposikim Okishar Gavoa, Ugavra, the Yav Zuzin in the Dunya, the Vechamua. The Sov Zal Nadunya, after the commander of Papa, Amalai, Ipasakta Imokishar Gavoa Shkilkashta, Velo Shkilkamikar. Amal Rabban of Papa, the Ilo Pasak Shakilkamikar. I thought it's just Mos. Mos are not Kono. Obviously, so then it's the Mocher is considered to be the Hadabe, so then Mekabalei Mocher Mishapara. If he wasn't Pasak, then it's the Lokech was Hadabe, and then it's the Lokech was Mekabalei Mishapara. Omele Revila Rav Papa, Mimai Drabonani, the Polagalei Drabi Shimon, the Amri Ma'od Lokon of Afilo Akhti Pasak Shargavar Sharkar Kadahashta, Vilo Pasak Sharkar Kadahashta. Maybe, in fact, there's no new question over here at all. It's going on with Rabbi Shimon. The Omar Mod Konot v'chi pasak ishar gavar shakel ki hashta. He lo pasik shakel because simply because he already owns it, not because of Misha Parah. It's Mishum dekana leizuze. But according to Rabbanan, maybe in a chinami bein pasak bein lo pasik shakel ki hashta because daite di ina shatira zila. Amalei, because Rabbi Shimon himself would only have said b'chad tira, he would never have betrayed Tari. What, mi amar? Because dilote mahachi, you're saying that there's no such thing as mishapara b'lokeach aliv Rabbi Shimon. V'chitema, yes, maybe that's true. Achi nami, v'atanya, mikol makom kachalacha, aval amru chachami mishapara. What's this mikol makom jazz? I mean, lav deloshna lokeach v'loshna mocher. How? I thought he already bought it. Clearly, Kikomer Rabbi Shimon bechad tira, but betrayed tira lo amre. Omele Rav Acha, Rav Rav Ravash, but typically, that he's only a shliach anyway, so how could there be Mishapara? Omele, no, he's not a shliach, he was a tagra. The Zofin Umazvin.